Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, I'm Rhiannon Leo Jameson from the Northeast Millerton Library.
Hi, and I'm Margaret Hask from the Cornwall, Connecticut Library.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So we're here to talk about Baker and Taylor.
Right.
I brought a little information because I know you know who they are, but I don't know if anyone listening knows who they are. And so Baker and Taylor, I guess the easiest way to describe it is our books, or one, or was one of our book vendors that we would buy books, digital content, audiobooks, pretty much anything you can think of from.
And right, they're a huge vendor.
Yeah. And they just announced that they're closing at the end of the year.
Right. So we're all kind of scrambling a bit to figure out where we're going to get our books from.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that the other big vendors are also scrambling because suddenly they're getting lots and lots of new customers and big orders, and it's slowed things down a bit on my end.
Oh, yeah. I looked on Baker & Taylor's website because they're still, the website still looks like they're operating as normal. But they had over 5,000 libraries that they served. Yeah. And we, of course, were one of them.
They were my major vendor. I noticed, so a while ago, their failure, I think, started a few years ago. I used to get my books processed by Baker & Taylor, which means they'd put a plastic cover on it and they'd put the spine label on it for me, which made it very easy then once the book arrived. You just had to do your own inside stuff and enter the book. You know, it's easy. My orders started taking weeks to come. Usually your order takes maybe 2 weeks, and it was taking 5 weeks, 6 weeks. And finally they said, well, we don't have enough people to do the processing, so process it yourself. So I started doing that, which was fine, and that worked fine for a while. But then maybe 6 months ago, I realized that a lot of the books I was trying to get were on back order. And my last order that I placed at Baker & Taylor, which was maybe 3 months ago now, half of the books that I wanted were on back order. They simply weren't buying enough copies of the books.
Mm-hmm.
And once it's on back order, you know, it could be months before you get your book.
Yeah.
So that was my experience with Baker & Taylor. Is that similar to what you experienced?
Yes, very similar. I've been in libraries for almost 20 years now, and I've only really ever used this vendor.
Mm-hmm.
So we were noticing the same things, but we didn't seem to have that problem with processing. It was still coming in time. But maybe not like you used to get it before it was out, and they were getting it a day or two after it was released. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it wasn't ideal, but it wasn't enough that any red flags went up. And then in May, we got a notification that they were canceling a bunch of orders and that we should run a list, and the list failed. And we tried a couple times and the list never generated. And, you know, the summer happened and we just kind of forgot about it. They canceled almost $1,000 worth of our orders.
Oh, no.
I know. So all of a sudden, we weren't really getting things anymore because all of our orders were canceled. And then, I guess, I want to say maybe August, after we realized this, our standing orders were still coming reliably, no problem. But anything else we ordered just wasn't coming in. So we canceled everything that was not a standing order and switched to Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been good, but now they're also feeling the crunch of all these libraries jumping on to their ordering. And then all of a sudden, the standing orders just stopped. And then maybe a couple weeks later, they announced they were closing.
Oof.
Yeah.
We also switched to Ingram's, and it's been very slow. I haven't received a big order from them yet. But I understand that they're just overwhelmed, that it's just taking weeks to get orders out, which is very frustrating because, you know, I could get it on Amazon, you know, in 2 days, but I don't want to order my books from Amazon. So we're just going to have to wait it out, I think. I don't really know what the other option is.
Yeah, it's like there's Brodart. Brodart's experiencing is another library vendor and experiencing the same thing. It has been interesting to see all these normal, like, other vendors like Follett and, like, you know, things that usually deal with college-level things going, oh, we're going to start serving libraries. I was like, oh, good.
Okay, good. Great.
More than
merrier.
Yeah.
But it was a shame because, you know, Baker & Taylor had been in business for so long and people had been working there for decades. What I understand is that in an effort to cut costs, they really just cut services too much, and they just were losing customers.
Yeah. Some of our libraries in our system that are were able to really keep on top of what was coming in had been, like, sounding the alarm since, like, for the last year or two that there was a problem. And, you know, it's like you're so comfortable using one vendor, like everything's all set up.
Oh, you know the website automatically. You just click, click, click your way through it.
Yeah.
Now we have to all learn new websites and new procedures.
The workflow change alone has been, like, racking my brain. I missed those monthly statements. Another unintended consequences of them closing is that our state use Baker Taylor software for our annual reports.
Oh, no.
So they're scrambling to find another vendor.
See, I wasn't that embedded in Baker & Taylor. I know people used a lot of their services and a lot of their programs. I just bought my books from them. I didn't do anything else. So that's been a huge inconvenience, but it wasn't. I know other people have much more complicated arrangements with them and have bought, you know, ebooks and things, and that what's going to happen now. And it's their situation is much more difficult than mine has been.
Yeah, it's the same. For us, it was, you know, just the struggle of trying to explain to everybody, like, be patient with us. We're trying.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. There was the month before they announced they closed. We got a brief window to what Ingram is like when they're not overwhelmed, and it was great.
Well, I'll look forward to that. Because I'm still waiting on my books, but as I said, they're starting to kind of leak into the library, but I haven't received a big order yet.
Yeah. You know, the first couple orders were, like, amazing. They were here in 2 days, just as good as Amazon. We didn't get covers because we knew that was too much at the moment for them.
Yeah.
Now we're in the same boat. We just got our Louise Penny books. There's a very, very popular author in our library that came out 2 weeks ago. So we had to run down to Oblong and get at least one.
Right. So. I have three people waiting for The Impossible Fortune by Richard Osman. And I finally did order it off Amazon because I just had too many people waiting to read it.
Yeah.
So that's that. So what do you have coming up for the holidays? Do you do anything special?
We do. We have a couple of things. We usually kind of take it easy at the end of the year a little bit, but we have a couple exciting programs. December 6th seems to be kind of a big day for us. We're having a children's clothing swap.
Oh.
We've done it a couple of times. This one is with some local parents. They're organizing it, and we're hosting it for them. So it's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Anyone can come pick up things. If you have things, you know, to drop off, you can. You know, just make sure they're clean, good shape. But, you know, feel free. If you don't have anything you need to drop off, you can still come and pick up some things. And then later that afternoon, we're doing 'Tis the Season to Play Ukulele.
Oh, you know, I've received flyers about somebody who does ukuleles, and it looks like fun.
Yeah, I tried it a little bit because we purchased a couple ukuleles, and our youth services person, Naomi, knows how to play. So she'll be teaching people how to play carols on the ukulele. But if you have your own, that's even better because we don't have that many to share with everyone. You can bring your own. And, you know, if you already know how to play, that's okay, too. You can just help everybody else learn a little bit. And it should be a lot of fun.
That sounds like fun. Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah. And then December 26th, we're having an interactive movie night, or movie afternoon, I should say. It's at 1 o'clock. But it's Muppet Christmas Carol. So have you ever been to an interactive movie?
No.
They're really neat. Most of the time, the easiest way to explain it to people, and it's kind of funny to say this, is the Rocky Horror Picture Show. You go to the movie, and you can yell things at the screen. You throw things in the air. So we're doing that with the Muppet Christmas Carol. So we're encouraging people to register so we have enough things for you to throw and interact with. But if you can't register and you just want to come, that's okay, too. We'll just have to share what we have.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't generally don't like holiday movies that much, but the Muppet Christmas Carol is a gem.
Good. Yeah.
Are you doing anything fun at your library next month?
We have a couple of things. We do a gingerbread house contest, which is a lot of fun. And we have an adult winner and a children's winner. So we got a great variety of gingerbread houses. We're doing that on December 7th in the afternoon. And then we follow that up with caroling outdoors outside the library, and we light our Christmas tree at the same time. So it's very nice. And we have some people in town who, you know, practice the carols, and they have beautiful voices. Some even have, you know, like formally trained voices. And so everybody joins in, and it's really a really lovely event, you know, standing outside the library and singing together. It's very nice. And then on Boxing Day, so the day after Christmas, we have a reading at the North Cornwall Meeting House, which is a very old church. I guess it's a meeting house, actually. It's a very old building. We light it with candles and have a person this year. It will be Scott Cady, who's a local person in town, who'll be reading selections from Annie Dillard. And so you sit there in the candlelight in this beautiful setting, and hear, you know, this wonderful literature. It only lasts for about 45 minutes because in this old building you can't have the heat and the candles at the same time. So we turn up the heat, we turn it off, we light the candles, we enjoy the reading, and then we all scoot out of there because it gets cold pretty fast. But it's a beautiful event, and we love it.
It sounds wonderful. Yeah. It must be quite a sight to see all those candles.
Yeah. It's lovely. So that's what our December is bringing us.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you've heard of this book, but one of our book clubs just read it, and it's been very popular at our library. And once I tell you the title, you'll know why. It's called Death at the White Hart. It's by Chris Chibnall. I'm probably spelling that incorrectly, but it's spelled Chibnall. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
He has a TV show based on some of his books called, the series is called Broadchurch. And it's a great series.
Of course. I've seen Broadchurch. They did a British version and then they did an American version with some of the same characters.
I had no idea it was books, too. So it was when this came out just a couple, maybe 3 months ago, we picked it up because of the title and because of him. And it's great. I really recommend it. It's just same kind of feeling as Broadchurch. Good police detective mystery, but it's all new detectives. And something happened possibly at a bar called the White Hart.
I will look for that. That sounds great. We have a great readership of mystery books. People just love them here. And so any new one I can find, any new series I can find, I definitely go for.
Yeah. I find people will just take that out on title alone, too, which is fun. Like, oh, it's the White Hart. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes the attractiveness of the cover. We had one book that went out a lot, and I thought, you know, partly that's because that's a really nice-looking cover. People want to pick that up and look at it. So we have a book that we're we've been talking about a lot, and I think a lot of people are talking about, called The Anxious Generation, written by Jonathan Haidt. Do you know anything about that?
It has been popular here, but I haven't read it. I don't know too much.
So I'm nearly through it. So essentially what he's describing is the situation in the United States where children have been overprotected in terms of the physical world, where kids are not allowed to go to parks anymore, sometimes not even play alone in the yards anymore. Everything is organized and structured by parents. And one of his main arguments is that children really need to work that out, work things out mm-hmm. on their own. You know, even if there's an occasional hurt feeling or something, it's important that kids learn to do that and not always turn to, you know, the adults for advice. They need to work things out. So, and they need to challenge themselves physically as well. So mm-hmm. that's one part of the argument, that we've been overprotected that way. And then the other side is that we've been terribly underprotecting our children in terms of the digital world. And between the two phenomena that are happening in the country, the children are really suffering, particularly pre-adolescence and adolescence. And it's distressing to read, you know, how children are suffering right now. And it's very difficult. It doesn't seem like it would be difficult, but it is difficult to fix, because the children really want their devices. You know, that's how they are communicating with each other. Unfortunately, that's how they're doing it, instead of, you know, walking along together and talking. Mm-hmm. So they want their devices, and the parents are. It's hard when you haven't practiced letting your children play alone and unsupervised, even for short periods of time. It's very hard to let go of that.
Yeah.
So but the argument is that those things have to happen. You have to take away the digital world a lot. There's going to be some, but you have to take away a lot of it. And you have to allow the kids to play outdoors independently, unsupervised as well.
Yeah.
So I was reading it. I was talking to my children's services librarian about it. She was very interested in it. And then she was on the playground with some friends, and they were talking about it. And then the day after that, in another group of parents, they were talking about it. So we are going to have a book discussion about it here in the library on January 17th, I believe it is. And we're just going to talk about the books, but I think we may want to follow up with some people in the community, some experts who could guide parents through sort of transitioning children into maybe a lifestyle that would be healthier for them.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. It feels like, you know, important work that the library can do, and I'm glad that we're able to provide this to people.
The New York State schools have recently banned cell phones and those kinds, like tablets and everything like that, during school hours. Like, they still have to use their classroom computers and things like that, but they mm-hmm. can't bring in their own devices during that time. And I'm hearing great feedback from the teachers that, like, kids are actually having a conversation with each other.
Absolutely.
Like, people are, they're talking at lunch now rather than texting each other.
Classrooms full of kids just looking at phones and not talking to each other. That's one of the descriptions in here. It's just sort of scary to think about. But, it can be fixed. You know, they've had examples where they've taken, like as you're saying, taken all the devices away, and within a week or two, you know, the kids are back to being their old selves, you know, and playing with friends. So, well, happy holidays to you. I don't know when we'll be talking again soon, but have a wonderful time.
Thank you. You too.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.